Blog Talk Radio.
Amen.
Okay, now it looks like that we are connected, and we hope that we did not lose anyone at this time. We are discussing divine healing. I'm Brother John, along with Dr. Suzanne. And we just come together just to share a word in the Bible. We're talking about divine healing, and our first scripture is Exodus 15:25. And he cried unto the Lord and said, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. If thou wilt diligently hearken, what is contained in this verse appears to be what is intended in the statue of an ordinance that was mentioned in the preceding. If we look at it, there are three things I'd like to look at in reference to when the Lord said he cried unto the Lord and he showed him a tree. And when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Number one, they should acknowledge Jehovah and their God as to avoid all idolatry, number one. Number two, from my notes I'm looking, is they should receive his word and testimony as divine revelation. And that's what he said in here. He says, and he made for them a statue and an ordinance that there he proved them. And he cried unto the Lord. Number three, they should continue to do so and adorn their profession with a holy life. And when I look at that in terms of when we are crying unto the Lord, whatever we're doing and whatever profession that we are in, that we should perform our duties with a holy life. With a holy life. Whatever we do, wherever we are, we should always be seen as a Christian. And as a Christian, that means we have a holy life. We're not saying one thing and doing the other. But we are walking and being obedient to the word of God. Amen? And it looks like we started off kind of shaky because we lost our signal. So if you are tuning in, we do apologize for the confusion, just to explain to you what's taking place. We don't know what's happening on your end, but we're just letting you know what's happening on our end as we begin our study of divine healing. Our next scripture we're looking at is Numbers 21:7. Numbers 21:7. And it states, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Numbers 21:8 states, and the Lord said unto Moses, make you a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. Amen? Amen. Now, the thing that we look at is, in this scripture, when we look at it, in Numbers 7 and 8, in 9, it says, and Moses made a serpent of bronze, and he put it on a pole, and it came to pass that the serpent had bitten any man that beheld the serpent. Now, I'm looking at this and thinking that when we look at the serpent, it literally means a seraph. A seraph. Now, a seraph is considered, considered an angel. Now, I'm looking at my notes, an angel having three pairs of wings. Or another word for seraph is seraphim. okay? And Seraphim in Christianity is the first of the nine orders of angels. So it's saying that when Moses was requested to make the serpent and he put it on a pole, and anyone that beheld or anyone that looked at the serpent lived. So anyone that passed this celestial being having three wings, as they looked at it, then they lived. They lived. And I'm sure that it could get much deeper when you start looking at seraphim and you start talking about it in terms of when we hear the word serpent, we think of the devil, of serpent. But in here it's saying that, you know, when the word uses the word, it uses serpent of bronze. That was possibly the color that that Moses had made it, but in context, it means seraphim, and that is an angel with three pairs of wings. If there's any comments for anyone on, anyone tuning in, please, you dial in 347-237-4054. That is the call-in number. And if you hit number one, and you have an opportunity to share with us this evening. All right, we will be going until 7 o'clock. Amen. Our next scripture is 2 Kings 5:13. Amen. Sister Suzanne, did you want to make any comments? Okay. Second Kings 5:13. Giving you enough time for to locate the scripture. You want to read it? 2 Kings 5:13, and his serpents came near. And his servant came near, and he spoke unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then when he says to you, wash and be clean. The word Father in here is a title of respect. That's the highest respect and affection. And the servant came near and spoke to him and said, My Father. That is a title of the highest respect and affection. And he bid him to do three great things. If the prophet had appointed me to do something very difficult in itself, or very expensive, would thou have not have done it? With much great reason, how would you occupy that little time? So when in the scripture, how I see it is, it says, My Father, which is held at the highest respect, if the prophet had bid to do great things, some great thing, would he have done it? How much rather then when he says to you, wash and be clean, to me that just sounds like obedience. That is obedience. When the prophet asks, wash and be clean, that's obedience, and also I see faith. Wash and be clean. Now think about yourself. If the prophet asked you or commanded you to perform a certain duty, how would you respond? And what type of faith would you have? In 14, as we look at it, it says, 5:14, it says, then he went down and dipped himself seven times into the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So, obedience. We're talking about obedience. He asked him to go down and perform a duty. He followed the duty exactly as requested, with faith.
Well, this chapter actually has, we need to start from the beginning. Dealt with. Remember our topic this week is our idea. And we have to remember that pray for gifts, it's always, it does not always come the way the issue or the want this time. Sometimes it's based on step out because just what might be a little unfortunate.
I like that.
Or strange. Chapter 5 talks about David against Zephyr. The king of Syria had high admiration for David, the commander in chief of his army, that led his troops in his glory to victory. So he was a great hero. But he was left. Bands of Syria had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a little girl who had been given the name of wife as a maid. One day, the little girl said to her master, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Naaman told the king what the little girl was. Go and visit the prophet. The king told him, I will send a letter of introduction for you to carry to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out taking gifts of 20,000 in silver and 60,000 in gold and 10 suits of clothes. The letter to the king of Israel said, the man bringing this letter is my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read it, he tore his clothes and said, this man sends me a leper to heal? Am I God that I can kill and give life? He is only trying to get an excuse to invade us. But when Elijah the prophet heard about the king of Israel's plight, he sent the message to him. Why are you so upset? Then name it to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet of God here in Israel. Mm-hmm. So Naaman arrived with his horse and chariot and stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger out to tell him to go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and he would be healed of every trace of his leprosy. But Naaman was angry and stalked away. Look, he said, I thought at least he would come out and talk to me. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call upon the name of the Lord his God and kill him. Aren't the Havana River and Fontar River of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel put together. If its rivers I need, I'll wash it whole and get rid of my leprosy. So he went away in a rage. But his officers tried to reach him and said, if the prophet had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply to go and wash and cure. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the prophet had told him, and his flesh became as healthy as a child, and he was healed. And then he and his entire party despised the prophet. They stood humbly before him, and Naaman said, I know at last that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Now please accept my gift. But Elijah replied, I swear by Jehovah, my God, that I will not accept
it.
Amen. And I just think that speaks to even about faith, about the power of power to be healed, divine healing. And this was even before Christ walked among us. It also speaks to that healing and the gift of the Lord are free.
Amen.
That all you have to do is ask. When there's a prophet before you, honoring the prophet, you don't.
Amen. Amen. So for you who may be tuning in at this time, this may be a message for you. It's just believing and having faith that God is still able to heal you. That faith of believing. And it doesn't make a difference how unorthodox that the request may be made. Just believing that God will heal you. If God is speaking to your heart, and again, it's just about being obedient and being faithful and knowing that God can heal whatever situation that he can take care of whatever situation that you may be going through or you may have at that time. I truly believe that God is still doing the same thing that we talk about now, that he's still doing that now. I truly believe that. And again, that's just by faith. It doesn't make a difference what the situation that I may entail. It doesn't make a difference. I believe that as my pastor says, it always works out. It always works out. God always works it out. And we have to have that belief and having that faith. So if I'm talking to you and you're going through anything at this time, just believe that it always works out. Continue to have that walk by faith and believing that God is still in the healing business. Amen. Okay, we are moving on to 2 Kings, I believe it's 21. 2 Kings 21. And in those days was Hezekiah sickened to death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Amen. In the days of Hezekiah, sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came and said unto him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, or you shall die and not live. Amen. Amen.
I think you should keep reading.
I have all minds on them, so let me go ahead and read.
2 Kings 20, beginning with verse 1. Hezekiah now became deathly ill, and Isaiah the prophet went to visit. Set your affairs in order and prepare to die, Isaiah told him. The Lord says, you won't recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. Oh, Lord, remember how I've always tried to obey you and to please you in everything I do. Then he broke down and cried. But before Isaiah had left the courtyard, the Lord spoke to him again. Go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, and tell him that the Lord God of his ancestor David has heard his prayer and seen his tears, and I will heal him. And 3 days from now, he will be out of bed and at the temple. I will add 15 years to his life and save him in this city from the king of Assyria. And it will be at, and it will all be done for the glory of my own name and for the sake of my servant David. Isaiah then instructed Hezekiah to boil some dried figs and to make a paste of them and spread it on the boil. And he recovered. Mm. Praise God. Praise God. So Hezekiah and, Isaiah witnessed the message from the Lord that he was a true prophet and that and the instruction of the Lord and saw that Hezekiah was healed by the paste. Now, would a paste of fig, boiled fig, would that heal anyone? No. Would dipping yourself in water 7 times to heal anyone? No, Lake Erie would be full. But it's the idea that the Lord said to it in your faith and believing in him makes it so. So even if this is one thing that we should understand as believers is that it's okay to speak to God and remind him of our relationship with him. To remind him, to plead, to cry out to him. Because the Lord loves that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the Lord, because if you have a relationship with the Lord, then you have that freedom, that liberty to call out to him and say, Lord, please consider this. I've tried so hard. I know I'm not perfect, but please consider my offering. Please consider, please consider my history or my family or whatever, when you cry out for healing. I know one person personally who had gotten a notice that she wasn't very pleased with, and notice would have was a medical diagnosis, and that medical diagnosis would have only given her a few more years to live. But she cried out to the Lord, that tears that you had, Lord, that I will preach for you, that I will dedicate to the kingdom. And here's this woman who's 67 years old now, who should have, by science, by the evidence of what they have found, should not have been here. She got 30 years over what she should have, what she would have been due to. So we have to know that the Lord life comes from the Lord. Life, Jesus, when we speak to one another and when we operate in life, your business and kingdom business. So that when we pray, we should pray to be in God's will and to pray that our place in the kingdom is fulfilled and that we do as we are, as the Lord would desire us. And you can't do that if you can't do that. And remember again, these are all Old Testament scriptures. Still talking about divine healing. Now, most of the time, we as charismatic Christians, we focus on just the New Testament and the healings in the New Testament, the healings that Jesus did. But there were healings in the Old Testament also, and the miracles took place in the Old Testament also. Remember, we serve a triune God. When Jesus came, he was this part of the Trinity. That came down and walked amongst us. But even before that, we still had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, a triune God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And God has definitely, there are promises that God has made to us. And here, their promise was that he would add 15 years to his life. and Isaiah prescribes for me of a cure. Amen? Amen. Moving on, as we're talking about discussing divine healing, we are in 2 Kings 27. 2 Kings 27. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. 27? Did we do that? Oh, okay. If we've completed that, then we are in Job 42:10. I'm sorry. Job 42:10.
Job 42:10. Old Testament again. Job 42:10 reads, then, with Job prayed for his friend, the Lord restored his wealth and his assets. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had. Now, remember, Job is the person in the Bible, the book of Job, who the enemy, Satan, had requested to test Job, and the Lord had such knew Job's power, that Job was a man of faith, and that Job was not dead, that Job was still celebrating the Lord, that Job would not turn his back on the Lord.
Right.
So here we have where Job was rewarded, that even after everything that he had been through, when he had lost his all of his land and his wealth and his family, that all of his children had perished, and here he was still praising the Lord and even praying for someone else, praying for his friends. Then when Job had finished praying for his friends, then the Lord restored all of his wealth.
Amen.
He still had a heart for God and a belief that prayer worked and that he could still extend that to others. And so all of his wealth was returned to him, and including more children, that the Lord gave him 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. So he was blessed. He was blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like in this here where, again, as you mentioned, you know, the key is that he had a forgiving heart, although that Job was upset because of everyone trying to get him to turn against God. He would not. And yet he did not become angry. If anything, he prayed for them. And because he prayed, that then the Lord restored everything that he had. And, amen? So whenever we're having a situation in our life, it doesn't make a difference what people around you are saying to you. We do not become irritated with them. If anything, we pray for them.
Amen.
Amen.
And when we look at this, when we talk about divine healing, not only was Job physically healed, his physical health was restored, but here we see that his spiritual health was restored, that his emotional health was restored,
mm-hmm.
that financially or his economic health was restored, and that he was also restored socially to his community.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about divine healing, divine healing goes with complete healing on the complete person, the whole person, the spiritual part of yourself, the physical part of yourself, the emotional part of yourself, the intellectual, mental part, and the financial part. Some people, like you've heard people say that their bank account was hemorrhaging, meaning that they were losing a lot of money in their bank account or in their business. Well, and hemorrhaging would be a health-related, a medical-related term. So when we pray for healing of all of the areas, every aspect of who we are, in order to have balance, to be balanced, and this is in the natural and spiritual, in order to be balanced, every area of of your personality or of your being, what makes you who you are, needs to be balanced.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Free us all, friends, and we can lose it all. God, give it back, though. Blessing like the knowing that as long as we just stand still and let God work on our behalf, that all things are possible. Amen. Psalms 91:10 is our next scripture as we move forward discussing divine healing. Divine healing. Amen.
Psalm 91:10 reads, "There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling."
Amen. And that's just, speaks, for itself. God is saying that nothing will hurt you. Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. No evil shall befall on you. Amen.
Amen.
That's an insurance. That's an assurance from God. That's an assurance from God that even though that we may be in a place that's fiery, that we are safe. That we are safe. Amen. That He
Amen.
Is going to protect us.
Amen. Psalm 91 is a favorite psalm. Psalm 91, "We live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who is above all gods. This I declare, that He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting Him. For He rescues you from every trap and protects you from the fatal plague. He will shield you with His wings, and they will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. Now you don't need to be afraid of the dark anymore, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plagues of darkness, nor disasters in the morning. Though a thousand fall at my side, though 10,000 are dying around me, the evil will not touch me. I will see how the wicked are punished, but I will not share it. For Jehovah is my refuge. I choose the God above all gods to shelter me. How then can evil overtake me or any plague come near? For He orders angels to protect you wherever you go. They will steady you with their hands to keep you from stumbling against the rocks on the trail. You can safely meet a lion or step on poisonous snakes. Yes, even trample them beneath your feet. For the Lord says, because He loves me, I will rescue him. I will make him great because he trusts in my name.
Mm-hmm.
And when he calls on me, I will answer. I will be with him in trouble and rescue him and honor him. I will satisfy him with a full life and give him my salvation."
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Full life means long life in there. But this is the promise that Jehovah God is saying that He will protect us. And I don't know if you remember one of the older praise and worship songs from maybe about 20 years ago that Jehovah will give His angels charge over me because Jehovah God cares for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me. Jehovah God cares for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's just a statement for all of God's children. He loves us all. Doesn't make a difference what condition we're in, what situation we may be going through. It doesn't make a difference. He loves us all just the same. Amen. And just like here it's saying, He will, no evil shall befall on thee. It doesn't make a difference. Whatever plague, whatever situation that you may have or we may be going through, and He's saying that neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, nigh thy house. you know, and as we speak, we can look at it either physical form or in terms of a house that we live in or our bodies. Amen? When I look at house, it says, talks about a house. Our house, you know, is that body is considered a house also, a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And when God looks at that house, he sees his son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he says, no plague shall come near thy dwelling. Amen. We are looking at 103, Psalms 103:3. 103:3 is our next scripture. Psalms 103:3. Amen.
I want to go back just for a minute where it says that he'll bless us with a full life. In Psalm 90, it talks about the full life. So when we ask, like, well, what is the full life? And the Lord says in Psalm 90, verse 10, that the days of our years are 3 score years and 10. And if by reason of strength they are 4 score years, yet if their strength of labor and sorrow, the 3 score and 10 would be 7 years. And if you're strong, and you've done, well, like physically able, you can go to 80. And we see people now that, more so than ever before, that are centurions, is how you say it? They're 100 years old, 100, and celebrating 100, you know, 105, 110 years. So praise the Lord for that. Their relationship to the Lord, I believe that has a lot to do with it.
Praise God.
Also,
man, I believe it also. Amen.
You said Psalm 103?
103:3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases.
Amen.
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 When I look at this, the two benefits I think of is forgiveness of sin and restoration of health. Restoring our health. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth my life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his way unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Our Lord, and I'm going to stop right there, speak to how loving and merciful the Lord is, that he has a completely covered. And healing is yours. So if you need healing or you know someone who needs healing, go to the Word.
Yes.
Go to the Word. It's our healing and restoration of our health. All is ours.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Looking at, as we move forward, we are at Isaiah 53:4. We hope that we're not moving too fast for you through the scriptures. If you would like to make a comment, call the number 347-237-4054 and hit number 1, and you will be a part of this discussion. We'd love to hear from you. To be a blessing to all those who are listening. Amen.
Isaiah 53:4, we get it with our grief before, our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment of God for his own sin. And this is the shadow or the foretelling of what was to come, speaking of Jesus taking on the sins and the diseases and the pains of the world, the sorrows of the world. So here we have Isaiah speaking of this. So many, before the dark ages, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah had prophesied this. So here it is written in the Old Testament in Isaiah. Again, I remind you, in the Old Testament, which is a foreshadow or a shadow of what we would see, a foretelling or a shadow of what we would see later see to come in the New Testament as we read along in our word.
Amen. Amen. We're also looking at 50, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5.
And 5 reads, "But he was wounded and bruised for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was lashed and we were healed." For each one of the lashes that Jesus took for us, that represented a disease. And within the earth today, there are only so many diseases. And those diseases, or a derivative or a form of those diseases, lash for are here today. And those same diseases can be healed today.
Amen. Amen.
Today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I truly believe that. I truly believe that. Yeah, we were purchased. We was purchased. We do not own ourselves, but we are owned by Jesus Christ because he gave his life that we might have life. Amen, and that we may have life more abundantly. So, just knowing that God is ahead of our life, and we are required to be obedient to the word of God. Be obedient. There is a law that we should follow. There is a law that's written down, the word of God. There is a law that we should follow. And if we follow that law, then we are looking at having peace. We're looking at having joy, unspeakable joy, unspeakable joy. Now, keep in mind that we all make mistakes. We all sin and fall short from the glory of God, but we are striving to be more like Christ. We're striving to be followers of Christ. It's like your child following you. Your child is following you to be just like you. That child is going to mimic everything that you do. Always watching, even when you don't even realize. Amen? And that's what we're doing. We're always watching, keeping our eyes focused on the cross. Amen. We are looking at Mark 4:23. And I'm looking at the time, and we are running out of time since we have gone down to an hour, but we did that simply because during the summer, many of our listeners, time-wise, it's usually an issue, so we cut it down to 1 hour, from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock every Wednesday, rather than 7 o'clock to 8:30. Amen?
But you said Mark.
It's Matthew 4:23. And mine states Matthew 4:23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogue, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Amen. Amen. When we look at that, we look at Jesus went in the synagogue and preaching and healing all manner of sickness. Matthew 24 also states, "And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with various diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with demons, and those that were epileptic, epileptic, I'm sorry, and those who were tormented. When we look at tormented, tormented is someone who has been tortured. Someone who has been tortured. During that time, gout, rheumatism, someone who has been racked with every joint issue, being attacked with joint issues, possessed with the devil, demonics, possessed with evil spirits, any disease that someone had, Jesus was preaching and healing. Amen. We are looking at 7:57. We're going to complete 7:57. We're looking at 3 more minutes. With that, we're going to end. I think we're going to end on this, because if we go into Matthew, then we're going to run out of time, and we don't want to run it out of time. So we do hope that you have enjoyed this part of Divine Healing. We're going to call this Divine Healing Part 1, and Divine Healing Part 2 will be next week, where we will complete the remaining of the scriptures that we did not have an opportunity to complete. Amen. And we always love to hear from you, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing. Please join in and be a part of this interactive Bible study, because we are all the body of Christ. We come together as one, just the Word of God. Amen. If you call in again, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. If you are by internet, it's Blog Talk Radio, and then once you see that window, then you can type in "We Can Begin Again," and that will direct you, or will put you right in with this blog talk show. So until we see you next week, or we meet again, we love you, but God loves you most. Amen.